Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Do they care? This is one of the questions I usually have in my mind when I first meet a new couple walking into my office, my other office for couples therapy. As you know, when I'm not here at St. Francis, I'm a therapist in my private practice where I meet with individuals mostly and some couples. When a couple walks in, whether they've been together for 1 year or for 30 years, whether they are older or younger, same sex or straight, I want to know, do they care about each other? Do they care about their marriage? Or have they checked out? A couple could be angry at each other. They could be arguing. But believe it or not, arguing, as long as it is not nasty, can actually be a good sign. It is usually apathy when they no longer care, and not conflict that often leads to the demise of a relationship. People who get angry actually still care and still have expectations and hopes for things to be a certain way. People want to care because getting married usually means investing in the mutual relationship for a lifetime. Marriage is a sacred covenant between two people and much, much more than a business agreement. When couples stop caring, stop investing in their relationships, and even stop getting angry, the relationship can suffer. Do they care? In our gospel reading today, Jesus was asking the same question. It's a few days before Passover, and likely over 150,000 people were crowding the narrow streets of Jerusalem. They were on their annual pilgrimage to bring sacrifices to the temple. And Jesus was livid as he pushed through the crowd, through the hordes of people gathered near the entrance of the temple. Here, people who are traveling from far away buy their animals for the sacrifice to present to the priest. Cattle and sheep, the noises and the smells, merchants hawking their goods, money changers yelling out their rates. Imagine crowding Times Square on New Year's Eve with people, and add cows, sheep, and pigeons. It was overwhelming. And this, the temple, was God's house, a house of prayer for all people, yet nothing on that day was remotely prayerful. On that day, Jesus was angry because he was hurt and disappointed. Hurt that people were just going about their business, that nothing at all was worshipful with all that was going on. He was angry because this house of prayer, this gathering place of worship, had been taken over by the secular and the worldly. Jesus was angry because the people of God had become apathetic in their relationship with God. You see, long before that very day, God had invited the Israelites into a covenant relationship. God promised through the prophet Jeremiah and said, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In that passage, God actually is called the husband in covenant with the Israelites. Imagine being married to God and what that means. It is a serious bond with hopes and promises and expectations that come with being yoked together, just as in marriage. And this is where today's reading from Exodus fits in. Just as in marriage, there are hopes and expectations. And just as in marriage, there are promises and vows. So we read the commandments not as a list of do's and don'ts, as we might often do to avoid punishment, but we read them as a way to nurture our relationship with God, to love God and to live out how God wants us to love the world as God's people. These are our promises and vows, our hopes and expectations. So we read these commandments as a map toward the heart of God. Think of them as a way to woo God, or perhaps a way to enrich and deepen that relationship. We are to live out these commands because we care about God, about what God wants for us, and because God wants us to care. But I wish it were so easy and natural and effortless. But caring about God can be difficult, and it takes work, because so much in our world pulls us away. And if we're not thoughtful and mindful enough, we can easily forget our identity as the people of God and what it means and what that God desires of us. Just like in any committed relationship, we can be pulled into the demands of our life, and there are many. Our work, our finances, our children or parents, shopping, sports, whatever we get obsessed with or worried about. And the relationship can take the back seat into our lives. And sometimes it might actually help for one partner to get angry to call attention to what's going on. And in our covenant relationship with God, we too can be like the Israelites at the temple at Passover. We too can get lost in the din and chaos, and we too can just check off from our list on that day. Order the Uber camel, or look for the best money changer on TripAdvisor, or use Amazon Prime to shop for the sheep for sacrifice. And we get on with our lives until Jesus turns the tables to catch our attention that something is profoundly off, that we haven't put as much effort or thought lately into being the people of God, that we are forgetting that we are the people of God. Jesus here is calling a timeout for us and saying, can we talk? Biblical scholar Brevard Childs wrote, faithful wrestling with God's commandments promises to form the life of the church. I love this analogy of faithful wrestling with God's commandments, because in wrestling, not only are we exerting all of our muscles, our whole being, we're also in full awareness of what we are wrestling with. It is in our wrestling and figure out how to live out these commandments that our relationship with God comes alive. So just how are we faithfully wrestling with God's commandments in our lives these days? How do we care? How are we showing God and showing others that we care. If these commandments can be summarized as loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, what does that look like for us today? I'm frequently asked, with all the things that one can do on Sundays, why choose to come to church? Why be a part of a faith community? My answer is always, we worship together to remind us that we are the people of God, because it is so easy to forget that. We worship together to nurture our relationship with God, because we can't quite do that on our own. We worship together to help each other love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to help each other find ways to love our neighbors as ourselves. We worship together to remind us that we belong to God, and belonging to God demands something of us. Jesus is asking for our attention, and we have a map to the heart of God. How shall we walk it together as the people of God? May this Lent awaken in us who we are in God. May this Lent remind us that in the promises and graces of God, we find the relationship with God. And may this Lent open our hearts to care for God and to care for all that God desires from us and through us. Amen.